Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the day today is the 26th of Dhul Hijjah 1445. We welcome Mufti Farhan Karani. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mufti Sahab.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hope Marana is well.
Ji, alhamdulillah. How's Mufti Sahab keeping today?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
Since yesterday, open a message and I found some shocking news. You know, sometimes you open a message of janaza and you don't know who is it. And then you all of a sudden you see, you know, oh, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi. This person, this uncle, you know, I know him, he was so close. I just spoke to him yesterday. And some shocking news. It's a reminder for us that, you know, life is so short. You think you know the person and the person is healthy, normal, and all of a sudden he's just gone. And our time is up, then couldn't have seen Zaiqatul Maut. We have to go to meet Allah Ta'ala. Leave everything, all your wealth behind, whatever you own, your family. Can't take nobody or nothing with. And that's the reality of life.
And recently, we've just been hearing total, like, we if you go to the the Avalon Cemetery, it's you can't even bury on the other side anymore. In fact, on the you have to drive a little bit further, and that's where they're burying the Muslims now. And even shortly, someone said within 2 years also that's going to be totally full. So where next? Some one uncle made wasiyat already. He said, when I pass away, make sure you bury me in one of my family members, one of the old family qabrs. You can bury me there. So
I was asked, so that why aren't you using the reusing the graves in lands? Because in Durban they do that.
Gee, and there's no problem to use it, so I don't see why what's stopping the people from doing it.
Because I went to this Qabristan in near Masjid Hilal in Durban, Overport, and you find like 3-4 names on one cover.
Hmm.
So after a few years, they reuse the grave.
Gee, has Mufti Sahib ever experienced where they reburied? Someone told me one uncle, this uncle in fact who's made the wasiyat, he said he saw the bones once. You see the bones of the previous.
When I went to Medina Munawara, then I went to one of the janazas. For one of the janazas, you have to really run behind that janaza to catch up there.
Gee, your shoes, everything, you must forget about your shoes.
You know how they run with those janazas, man? Yo. If they're speed traps, I'm sure they're going to hit all of the speed traps there. When I got there, they were still clearing the inside of the cupboard. So I just peeped inside. There was some hair and bones. They just moved it on the side, and then they put the other body inside.
Hmm.
But not much left.
Gee. So probably they should look towards this now, after this land gets full.
Like even West Park. West Park is also almost it's also full. They're moving towards the entrance now. So, I mean, they'll have to do something.
So, there in this world, we're totally concerned. We mustn't, you know, when we make the fire, also we mustn't get burnt or we mustn't get injured. But there, we worry about load shedding. What's going to happen there?
Yeah, Allah save us.
I mean, so Mufti Sahab, how should we live our lives in a manner that we constantly have our gaze upon the fact that any second we can just leave, pass away. Yesterday I was speaking to someone, a few Hujjaj saw this year, 1445, while people making tawaf due to the extreme heat, they just collapse. And this was, Saudi makes it seem like it's just, you know, those people who got the illegal visas and they stayed on from Umrah, they only the ones that died. But many others, in fact, the numbers that they are giving, it's much controlled compared to what the reality is.
Life is, Allah Ta'ala reminds us in the Quran all the time, in أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ, and Allah Ta'ala mentions the ayat about a qiyamah and about the qabr, and we hear in bayans about life after death. You know, when one of us speaks on Jummah, they kulun nafsin dha'iqatul maut, then say, oh, there goes again. No, same topic. We heard it 100 times. Now, why? You know, you must speak about something contemporary, you know, issues that are current. And you know, why does Maulana Zia speak about saying, why we speak about the same things is because we have to be reminded. We forget, you know, on a daily basis, we wake up in the morning, we forget that we're going to die. If we can't die, we could have died already. And we have to remind ourselves about Maud. And Nabi Sassam told us, you must think about Maud, excessively think about Maud. And because that curtails your desires, it cuts your desires. A person knows for sure that he's going to die at a certain date. He will be like a mad person. He'll go out into the jungles and he'll go and worship Allah Ta'ala. He'll leave his family and his wealth. He won't care about anything in his life. But because we don't know when we're going to die, so we think we're going to live forever. And the Jews, they think that they're going to, Al-Fasana, they're going to live for 1,000 years. And nobody's going to live for 1,000 years. They come out with all these clinical trials and all these medical advancements to prolong their lives, eat this kind of food and take that medication and those tablets. But it's not going to increase your life. You're still going to die when your mort is written. You're not going to be extended by 1 second. You're not going to be decreased by 1 second. Whenever your mort is up, when your time is up, you're going to die. When you finish your risk, you're going to die. When you don't have any air left in your risk to breathe, then you're going to die. When everything finishes, then you have to die. Even you put a person on life support, he's dead. He's clinically, he's dead. You're just keeping his lungs pumping there with air, but he's dead already. So when our time is up, we're going to die. We're going to leave this world and meet our Creator. And the first night in a qabr is the most loneliest night, because that's the first night you're in a qabr alone. You receive the two malaika, Munkar and Nakir. They come there in the qabr, screaming at you with flames coming out of their mouths, and they have blue eyes and they look so terrible, horrible, and just to scare the mu'min. And when Nabi Sassam explained this scene to the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum, Umar radhiyallahu said, how will we answer? Like, what's going to be our state at that time? So Nabi Sassam said that for mu'min, it's not going to be scary. Then Umar radhiyallahu said, let 100 of them come also. Let 100 of them come. You know, Rabia Basriya radhiyallahu anha, rahmatullahi, when she passed away, then somebody saw her in a dream and asked her, like, what happened? So she says that Malaika came, they asked me, Mar Rabbuk. So now she's asking the questions. They're asking the questions first, or she started asking them questions. Like, so who is Europe?
Hmm.
Now they're looking at each other. Now we're supposed to be asking the question, not answering questions, yeah? First time it happened to us like this. So they went to Allah Ta'ala and, Ya Allah, she told them, that, where you come from? See, we come from the Asman, the seven heavens. See, okay. So who's your Rabb? Say, Allah. See, you're coming from so far, and I'm coming from here 6 feet. You think I must forget my Allah? And so that is the iman and the state of awareness of the awliya Allah, that their hearts, while they are living, they're always in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. And even so, after they die also, they have no worries. Allah Ta'ala says, "Wala khawfun alayhim." And what does it mean? In this dunya, they won't have any fear. No fear. "Wala hum yahzanun." In the akhirah, they won't have any worries also. So this is the state of the awliya Allah. On this topic here, what I wanted to speak about is this ayat in the Quran, or this word in the Quran that comes many times, sharah. What is this word? Sharah sadr. This term, sharah sadr, what does it mean? In the Quran Kareem, this word with the same root letters, sheen, ra, and ha, comes 5 times in the Quran, in 5 different ayat. Allah Ta'ala mentions, فَمَن يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَن يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. Now we will connect this to the topic we were discussing about mort, that this is the essence that we're supposed to have in us for us to be successful in our death. That what did Allah Ta'ala say? That whoever, whomsoever Allah Ta'ala desires to guide him, then what does he do? يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. He opens his heart for Islam. He opens his heart towards Islam. He inclines him towards Islam. Now we look at the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu narrates, he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the ayat, فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that nur, when nur enters the heart, it spreads. When this nur enters the heart, it spreads. It's like a room that's dark, a dark room, and you shine a light in it, or you light a candle in it. What happens is all the darkness disappears because the light expands into the darkness, and the darkness disappears and the light remains. So how much light you're going to place in the room, that is how much of light there will be in the room, and how less darkness there will be in the room. So when this nur enters the heart, then it expands and it fills the entire heart. Then it was asked, Ya Rasulullah, how can we recognize this? Ya, هَلْ لِتِلْكَ مِنْ عِلْمٍ يُعْرَفُ بِهِ. How can we recognize that this heart is now filled with nur? So Nabi Sallam says, نَعَمْ التَّجَافِي مِنْ دَارِ الْغُرُورِ. That a person distances himself from this worldly deceptions, from this deceptive world. His heart is no longer inclined to the things of this world. He's not attached. His heart is not attached. He has a nice car. He's living in a nice house. He has the luxuries in his house. He has the luxuries in his life. But his heart is not attached. If something is broken, something is lost, he doesn't go berserk. He doesn't go mad. He understands that this is from Allah Ta'ala. And the second thing is, وَالْإِنَابَةُ إِلَىٰ دَارِ الْخُلُودِ. And he turns his amal towards the akhirat, to the everlasting life. He is no longer interested in this in the life of this dunya. He is now turning his attention to the life of the akhirat. And this is from Allah Ta'ala. This is a hidayah from Allah Ta'ala. The third thing is, وَالْإِسْتِعْدَادُ لِلْمَوْتِ قَبْلَ نُزُولِ. That he prepares for mort before it comes. Before it arrives, he prepares for mort. So these three things are the signs that a person has sharah sadr. He has the hidayat. He has that light in his heart that will take him towards goodness. That he is no longer attached to this dunya, and his attention is now to the akhirat, and he is preparing for mort all the time. Now, when a person has this worries in his this fikr and this worry and this concern in him, now you can say this person has sharah sadr. His heart is now open towards iman. His heart is open. He's receptive now to receiving hidayat. And what do the mufassirin say regarding this here? That what does it mean? يَحْدِيَهُ فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَحْدِيَهُ. Hey, هَدْيَهُ الْخَاصُ الْمُوَصِّلُ إِلَى مَقَامِ الْإِخْتِصَاصِ. This hidayat, it's a special hidayat which takes a person to that, elevates him to that special position. And that special position, what special position? Talking about a position that this person becomes a wali of Allah Ta'ala. He becomes close. He gains his proximity to Allah Ta'ala. He is now the friend of Allah Ta'ala. And yashrah sadrahu and ay yuwassi'u qalbahu lil Islam. This person now, his heart is open towards Islam. He has no reservations about Islam. When he hears something that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, he says, Sami'na wa ta'na. He put his hands up and say, Allah, I submit. I submit. I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to debate. It is the will of Allah Ta'ala. It is what my Nabi said. I will listen. It is what Allah Ta'ala says. I obey. I listen. I throw in the towel. I'm not going to debate. I'm not going to argue. It is what Allah wants from me. It is what I'm going to do. So his heart is now open towards Islam. And لشرائعه على سبيل الاقتصاد. Whatever Allah Ta'ala says in the Sharia, whatever the Sharia, who is the Sharia? The Sharia is Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala makes the Sharia. And what the Nabi speaks is from Allah Ta'ala also. Because وَمَا يَنْفِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. He doesn't speak out of his own. He speaks what Allah Ta'ala inspires him to speak. Whatever the wahi is sent to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whatever he speaks, it's inspired in his heart that he must speak this year. So whatever the Sharia is, Allah Ta'ala. And Imam Tibi rahmatullahi says that أي يلطف به ويقذف النور فيه. And that Allah Ta'ala instills nur in this person, and until حتى يرغب في الإسلام. He is now inclined toward Islam. His heart is now open and receptive to receiving guidance. When he hears a talk about Islam, he doesn't object to everything or anything. He accepts it, and now he's inclined toward Islam. And what is an important thing? وَتَسْكُنُ اللَّهُ وَتَسْكُنَ إِلَيْهِ نَفْسَهُ. Then Allah Ta'ala places the sukoon in his heart. And Allah Ta'ala places sukoon in his heart. It is one of the qualities. If a person has sharah sadr, then he has sukoon in his heart. He is not a restless person for this dunya. Rather, he is a restless person for the akhirat. How much prepared am I to meet my Allah Ta'ala? And how prepared I am to meet Allah Ta'ala? That how, last week we spoke about salah. It shows our readiness to meet Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. That the person who should read his salah, every salah should be like his last salah. That I'm going to meet my Allah Ta'ala. This is my last salah. How will a person read that salah, which is his last salah? Then another ayat, so Allah Ta'ala says here, فَمَنْ يُرِيدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ الْإِسْلَامِ. Allah Ta'ala wants hidayah for a person, then Allah Ta'ala opens his heart towards Islam. And then, وَمَنْ يُرِيدِ أَنْ يُضِلَّهُ. This is a scary part. If Allah Ta'ala wants to deviate us, if he wants to deviate us, so Allah Ta'ala is the one who gives hidayah and the one who takes away hidayah. And leaves the person on kufr, leaves the person on shirk, so that the person can get the maximum azab in the five jahannam. So it is our aqeedah also. We believe in taqdeer, everything good and bad comes from Allah Ta'ala. Some people who are not on the haq, what they say, no, Allah Ta'ala can't create bad things. Allah Ta'ala only creates good things. No, our aqeedah is Allah Ta'ala creates the good and the bad. Now it's up to us whether we take the good or we don't take the good. And then there's another thing also, that if Allah Ta'ala doesn't want you to take the good, if Allah Ta'ala doesn't want you to be good, then Allah Ta'ala will not make you become good. Allah Ta'ala will not let you have iman. Allah Ta'ala will keep you in kufr. Allah Ta'ala will keep you in darkness. That is the scary part. That is why we read the dua. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا. Ya Allah, do not turn our hearts away after you have guided us. And because it's Allah Ta'ala is telling us, that is I who takes you away from hidayat, because I give you hidayat, and if I don't want you to have hidayat, then I will not give it to you. So that is why we have to constantly make dua, Ya Allah, keep us on hidayat, and take us away with iman, and resurrect us also with those who have iman, because we don't want to be resurrected with the kuffar and the yahood and the nasara. We want to be resurrected with the anbiya, the salihin, the shuhada. That is who we want to be associated with on the day of qiyamah. So now look at the wonderful examples Allah Ta'ala places in the Quran Kareem, and we just contemplate on the examples, and it will put us into ecstasy. You know, you don't need to take drugs to go on a high, and you'll just read the kalam of Allah Ta'ala and understand its meaning. It will put you on a high. And the awliya, they always, sometimes when you speak into them, their mind is not there, because they are contemplating in the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. They're contemplating on the ayat of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, the signs of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Now look at this example, what Allah Ta'ala says. And that person whom Allah Ta'ala wishes to deviate, يَجْعَلْ صَدْرَهُ ضَيِّقًا حَرَجًا. The first example is that the summary Allah Ta'ala brings here is that Allah Ta'ala constrains his chest. He makes his chest tight. What? That this person, he is uneasy. He doesn't have sukoon in his heart. He doesn't have contentment in his life. He is always anxious. He's always worried about losing the dunya. He's always uneasy. He's not settled, not a settled person. So يَجْعَلْ صَدْرَهُ ضَيِّقًا حَرَجًا. And then look at subhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala says that كَأَنَّمَا يَصَّعَّدُ فِي السَّمَاءِ. Now yeah, Allah Ta'ala is telling us, giving, so it's you know, when a person elevates to a higher altitude, when he climbs a high mountain or he's driving up the Drakensberg mountains, the air gets thinner and it's more difficult to breathe. So yeah, Allah Ta'ala is saying, look at this here, كَأَنَّمَا يَصَّعَّدُ فِي السَّمَاءِ. It's like a person who is going up to higher altitudes. He is rising up to higher altitudes. He is climbing into the sky. Then what happens when you climb higher? Your chest becomes tight. You have difficulty in breathing. So when this, look at subhanAllah, look at examples from the Quran Kareem. But Allah Ta'ala, so we even get signs from the Quran Kareem. And signs never come from Dawan and all these people. Signs came, the Quran Kareem is filled with signs. So Allah Ta'ala says that this person who doesn't have a diet, who Allah Ta'ala doesn't want to guide, then he sits in a bayan and he's criticizing everything and he's uneasy. When he's sitting in a masjid, he's like a fish out of water. You know, he wants to get back into the water. Where is his water outside the masjid? And the mu'min is like a person, is like a fish inside the water. He is comfortable in the water. He is swimming well, swimming nicely. He is blowing bubbles inside there. He is reading Quran. He is doing dhikrullah. He is reading salah. You know, he is fine. He's peaceful in the masjid. But outside the masjid, he's not peaceful because he's worried about when is the next salah. I need to see now what's the time now. Okay, I need to put my alarm for the next salah. I mustn't be late for my takbir ula. So this person here, he is in the masjid. He is uneasy. He doesn't want to listen to the bayan. So what he comes Jumma day, he stands outside the masjid day when the bayan is going on. As soon as the khutbah starts, he comes in the masjid. Then also he's not easy. He can't sit still in the masjid. He's worried now. As soon as the imam makes a salam, and he doesn't even sit for any dua, nothing, he just gets out and he runs out to the masjid. And then he carries on like he's so busy in the world that he got so much things to do, but he'll stand there and talk outside the masjid. So, a sign of this person who doesn't have sharaf sadr, he doesn't have this contentment in his heart, he doesn't have this hidayah from Allah Ta'ala, then he can't sit in the bayans of pious people. He can't go and meet pious people. He's scared to meet pious people. He is hesitant to meet pious people because of his sins. Allah Ta'ala doesn't want him to meet pious people because Allah Ta'ala doesn't want hidayah for him. Because if you sit in the company of the pious, you will most certainly benefit from the company of those pious people. Even if they don't speak a word, they don't speak a single word, just being in their company, because the ruhaniyat and the anwar which descends on the heart of these pious people, it spreads out around these people, these pious people. So if you even sitting around a pious person, you benefit him, even if he didn't speak any word, he just kept silent. Sometimes the awliya, they make tawajjuh on the hearts of the people who are sitting there. And we heard this from Satira. So sitting in the company of the pious people is difficult for this person. Listening to Quran is difficult for him. Reading the Quran is difficult for him because Allah Ta'ala doesn't want him to have that connection with Allah Ta'ala. And then Allah Ta'ala says, كَذَٰلِكَ يَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ الرِّجْسَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ. Similarly, in this manner, Allah Ta'ala places rijs. Rijs is azab. The Mufassirin, they say, what is rich? It is adab, this punishment of Jahannam and the punishment of the Qabr. Upon those people who don't know, they don't know what is hidayat because Allah Ta'ala kept them away from hidayat. In another ayat of Quran Kareem, Allah Ta'ala says, من كفر بالله من بعد إيمانه إلا من أكره وقلبه مطمئن بالإيمان ولكن من شرح بالكفر صدرا فعليم غضب من الله. Now, a person who has sharaf sadr, now, in the first example, Allah Ta'ala says a person has shara sadr for hidayat, and the person can also have shara sadr on kufr. Person can have shara sadr on kufr, and walakim man sharaha bil kufri. That person who is, his heart is now inclined towards evil, his heart is inclined towards wrong things, then this person here, fa'alim ghadabun min Allah. Allah Ta'ala's anger is on him. Allah Ta'ala's curse is on him. Walum azabun azim. He has a very, very bad, grave punishment waiting for him in the akhirat and in the qabr. So this sharaf sadr is this contentment in the heart that the person has towards, and he has the inclination towards Islam. And the dua we are taught in the Quran Kareem, another ayat, Rabbi shrahli sadri. Musa alayhi salam was told to make this dua. Oh Allah, open my heart. Rabbi shrahli sadri. Open my heart. And وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي, and make my affairs easy. So وَحْلُ الْأُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي, and open the knot on my tongue. And so this is a dua of Musa alayhi salam. So we must recite this dua. We must read this dua. Another ayat Allah Ta'ala says, أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ الْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِنْ رَبِّي. Whoever Allah Ta'ala opens his, for whomever Allah Ta'ala opens his chest for Islam, then he is on the nur from his Rabb. He is on hidayat from his Rabb. He is on the straight path. He's on the right path. He is going the right direction. And Allah Ta'ala says, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْقَاسِيَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. And woe and destruction be upon that person whose heart is hard towards the dhikr of Allah. He doesn't want to remember Allah. He doesn't want to make dhikr of Allah. And Allah Ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Those people are in clear, open deviation. There is no doubt that they are deviated. So we must make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala fills our hearts with nur and contentment and inclination towards doing goodness, and Allah ta'ala keep our hearts inclined towards the awliya Allah and towards salah, towards the masajid, towards the Quran Kareem, towards goodness and piety. Because if Allah Ta'ala wants to, He can snatch it away. And the end result of a person says what kind of a person he is, or what kind of a person he was. You say, how you love, that's how you die. So the person can, in one hadith, he comes with a person, he loves his entire life, is a good person, and then he a taqdeer takes over, and this person, he goes to Jahannam. Or a person, his whole life, he can be living a bad, evil life, and taqdeer takes over, and this person goes to Jannah, he becomes, he's a Jannati. So it is up to Allah Ta'ala to decide what kind of a way is our abode going to be. That is why we have to cry to Allah Ta'ala and plead and beg with Allah Ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala must keep us on hidayat, and he must not take away our hidayat. He must not deprive us of his mercy and Jannah. And one final ayat, Allah Ta'ala says to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Alam nashrah laka sadrak. Did we not give you shara sadr? Did we not open your chest? Did we not guide you towards Islam? It's Allah Ta'ala is telling us that it's not you who became good. It's not you who changed overnight. It's not you who decided to wake up and go for Fajr Salah, or decided to now, I'm going to start reading all my Salah. It's not you who decided. It's not your decision. It is Allah Ta'ala's decision, that Allah Ta'ala will you to go toward in the right direction. That is why you're going in the right direction. So we must never attribute anything to ourselves, because we have no power, no qudrat. It is Allah Ta'ala who is Qadir. Allah Ta'ala is Alim. Allah Ta'ala is Khabir. Allah Ta'ala knows everything. And Allah Ta'ala is the one who guides us. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen.
Jazakumullah khairan, Mufti Sahab, for this pieces of advice. We request your du'as also, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.